the sermon text from Acts chapter 4, verses 23 through 33, on page 1073 in the Pew Bible. Acts chapter 4, starting at verse 23, hear God's inerrant, infallible word. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God, who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined beforehand to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Sermon title this morning is Prayer for Boldness. Prayer for Boldness. And we are having a short series on the Reformation, and with the view that October, in a sense, is Reformation Month, where we remember how God reformed the church and has been reforming the church throughout the ages. And to use a little bit of Latin, Semper reformanda, always reforming. The church is always reforming because God is always working in the hearts of his people to revive them again. Amen? And so we want to look at a snapshot from the Reformation, late Reformation, from the 1700s, as the fires of the Holy Spirit were burning low. And this is typical in Bible history and church history. When things start to burn low, God turns up the heat again and turns up the love of Jesus again, and then gets the church going. And he did this through a young man named Nicholas von Zinzendorf, a German. And Nicholas, even from a youth, loved the Lord Jesus. And when he was in school, he started seven different prayer meetings, groups of people to pray and to have fellowship and to pray before the Lord. And one of his quotes, and I think this is kind of an emblem or banner for his life, he said, I have one passion, it is he, only he. And you know he is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, In 1722, this von Zinzendorf was a rich man. He had a lot of land, and there were some refugees that were fleeing the Czech, what's now the Czech Republic, the area of Moravia. They were Moravians, and they began to settle in Count von Zinzendorf's land. So they were refugees, kind of like we have had refugees come to our country and needing a place. Well, these refugees began to settle in his land in Germany, and he allowed them to do that. And these were actually followers of John Huss. So they were persecuted for their Protestant faith by the Roman Catholics, and so they were fleeing to a place where they would not be persecuted, and they were allowed to be in the land of Zinzendorf. And over time, you know, in the next 5 years, from 1722 to 1727, over 300 people settled on his land. And but they were Christians, but they came from a lot of different denominations, and there was a lot of pride and a lot of conflict, and there was a lot of dissension and bickering. So even though they were Christians, they were not having a very good witness. And so Zinzendorf got together with the leaders of all these people, and they instituted a covenant and encouraged everyone to pray and labor for unity and love in Christ. And then, on May 12th, Zinzendorf preached to all the people. He went and visited everyone, every family. And that's quite a feat, but he did it. And then they assembled together, and he preached to them for 3 hours. Can you imagine hearing a sermon for 3 hours? I can't. Don't worry, I'm not going to go for 3 hours. But he did preach for 3 hours, and then something happened. Something happened where people were convicted of their lack of unity, of their bickering, and their need to get right with their brothers and sisters in Christ. And on May 12th, 1727, revival came. The whole community came alive with the life and love of Christ. And Zinzendorf, in his own words, said, "The whole place represented a truly visible habitation of God among men." Amen. Have you ever seen that happen in a body? When everyone says, "Yes, I want the Word of God. I want the Gospel. I want the Spirit." And they pray. And they start to say things like, "You know what? The other day, I did thus and so to you. Would you please forgive me? I was wrong. I sinned against you. Please forgive me." And they start to make things right. It's a beautiful thing. Well, that happened in the place called Hernhut. And that was what they called the community. Hernhut means the Lord's watch. The Lord's watch. Because they believed that God was watching over them. And they said that from that time on, that summer, they had what they called the golden summer. The golden summer, where they just could sense the presence of God among them. Then in August, they developed a 24-hour prayer vigil. This is where 48 men, well actually 24 men and 24 women, covenanted to pray for 1 hour each day. So there were always two people praying for one of the 24 hours of the day. They were praying for their community that God's light would shine there, that they would be unified, that they would be focused on the Lord. And they were praying that the gospel would go to the ends of the earth. Amen. They were praying for the Great Commission, the Great Command. Go therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all I commanded you, for lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That's the Great Command, the Great Commission. And so they're praying that they would be able to fulfill that. Well, 6 months into their prayer watch, Nicholas von Zinzendorf challenged his fellow Moravians to a bold plan of evangelism aimed at the West Indies in the Western Hemisphere, Greenland, and also Turkey. And they started to look outward. They looked inward and dealt with the sin in their house, but then they started to look outward to the world. And don't you know that by 1791, Herrnhut had sent 300 missionaries to the ends of the earth. 300 just from that community that really at first was just refugees themselves. In fact, they even sent a couple missionaries to the West Indies. They sold themselves into slavery on purpose so that they could preach the gospel to the slaves, because the slave owner would not allow preachers on the island. And so they thought the only way that they would get in there with the gospel would be to sell themselves into slavery and then preach to the slaves, which they did. And then churches were established on that island. So God is able to get the gospel in where he wants it to get in. Amen? Amen. That prayer watch that began in 1727 would last over 100 years. And it was used of God to send thousands of missionaries around the globe. Now, why do I tell you this? I tell you this because we need to change our worldview regarding prayer. We do. Because the enemy would tell us that prayer does not matter, or prayer is not a priority, or prayer accomplishes little, or that we have more important things to do instead of prayer. But the truth is, the effective, effectual prayers of a righteous man accomplish a little bit. No, they accomplish much. And here's proof. Here's a fact. Thousands of missionaries sent around the globe all started as a prayer watch in 1727. Anyone here have Methodist roots? Anybody? Any Methodist? Okay. Or AME, African Methodist Episcopal? Some family? Okay. Well, the Methodists trace their roots back to Wesley, and the Moravians were instrumental in Charles Wesley's conversion to saving faith in Christ Jesus. Anyone have African Christian roots? It's just recently that the gospel has penetrated Africa, and that is through the modern missionary movement, which began with that prayer watch in 1727. What happens when God's people pray? Well, what happens is God answers in power. There is power in prayer because it pleases God to answer prayer with power. Amen. Let me say that again. There is power in prayer because it pleases God to answer prayer with power. What kind of prayer does God honor? Well, God honors prayer that is God-focused, word-centered, trusting, and also specific. God honors God-focused prayer. We see that in Acts chapter 4 in verse 24. And when they heard this, they lifted their voices to God. And with one accord, they said, O Lord, it is Thou. Prayer needs to start not with us, but with God. The kind of prayer that God honors is God-focused. We need to worship Him. And worship is the beginning of prayer. You are worthy, O Lord, because You didst create all things, and because of Thy will, they exist and were created. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Start with God. The kind of prayer God honors is God-focused. The kind of prayer God honors is word-focused. In verse 25, they say, And by Thy Holy Spirit, through the mouth of our father David, Thy servant, did say, Why did the Gentiles rage, and the peoples devise futile things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered against the Lord and against His Christ. There, they, and it doesn't say who is saying this, except this is all of God's people praying together, remembering Psalm 2. Why do the nations rage? And so we take our cue from the believers here that our prayers need to be word-centered. And so when we pray, we want to have a Bible nearby. Amen? Or have that Bible in our hearts, in our minds, on our lips. So we can pray the word. If you know the word, you can pray the word. Amen? Amen. Then that prayer that God honors trusts in God who is sovereign. Our God is sovereign. He's in control. It may not look like it at the time, but He is. Amen? And sometimes it looks pretty dark, the darkest time of the day is right before the dawn. So hang on, brother, hang on, sister, light is coming. The light of Christ will shine on you. Amen? So they say, For truly in this city we're gathered together against your holy servant or your holy child, Jesus, whom you anointed, who was your Messiah, gathered against him, Herod, Pontius Pilate, the people of the Gentiles, the people of Israel. So all these people, all against Jesus. You ever feel like the whole world is against you? That you are alone in the world. God gets His people alone and tests us to see whether we will walk by faith. Is it easy to walk by faith? No! But is it worth it to walk by faith? Yes! So keep on keeping on. Amen? And remember, God's in control. And we say to God, God, take note. Take note. And now, Lord, take note of their threats. Because when you stand up for Jesus, you're going to be threatened. It's just the way it is. All, not some, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. That's what the word says. Can't change it. That's the way it is. But we trust that God is able to bring us through. He will deliver us from the mouth of the lion. Amen. So we trust God. That's the kind of prayer that God honors. But then we also want to have specific and urgent prayer. It doesn't say, you know what, later on, God. It says, now and now. Save now. Hosanna means save now. Fix it now, God. Amen. And now, Lord, take note of the threats and grant. Grant. And I'll get to those specifics, what they ask for. But I need to ask you, when you pray, are you specific? Are you specific? In our passage, our New Testament lesson from Matthew chapter 18, do you remember what Jesus said? And he said it twice. You'd think we would get it, but he had to say it twice because we're slow sometimes. But he says, I say to you in verse 18, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on anything, agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. What is he saying? When we ask for something in Jesus' name, we're asking in the authority of Jesus. We're asking in the relationship of sons from the Heavenly Father. Isn't that awesome? And where two or three of us gather together in His name, He's there. So right now, He's here with us. Hallelujah. A beautiful thing. And so we can listen to Jesus asking this question, what do you want me to do for you? Mark 10:51. What do you want me to do for you? That's what Jesus asked of the blind man. And he said, Rabbi, I want to see. I want to see. In this case, in Acts chapter 4, they wanted to speak boldly in Jesus' name. And so they say in verse 4:29, they say, now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. And by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. What were they praying for? They were praying for bold, open speech regarding Jesus. And they were praying that mighty signs and wonders would be done among them. Now, this is what got them into trouble. Do you remember? Going back to Acts chapter 4, they healed a lame man at the gate of the temple. And then they preached. And then they were in prison. Can you imagine? They healed a guy. And then they got thrown into jail for healing him, essentially. But they were threatened, and they didn't want to be intimidated by those threats. And so what got them into trouble was bold speech and signs and wonders. So they pray, Lord, give us more of the same. And we don't care what happens to us. Amen? And so the Lord was fulfilling His promise to the disciples, His promise to us in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and even to the ends of the earth." And so they continued to be witnesses in Jerusalem, even in the place where Jesus was crucified. "Crucify us if you must. Throw us in jail if you must. But we can't stop. It's impossible for us to stop speaking the things that we have seen and heard." Amen? There is power in prayer because it pleases God to answer prayer with power. Amen? Now, what was the result? What was the result of the prayer? Well, the place was shaken. The place was shaken. Now, there's a problem here because we want revival, but we don't want to change. Can't have both. So, if we want revival, then that means we have to want God to shake things up. To shake away the things that ought not be and for the things to remain that must remain. Amen? Amen. When the Spirit of Jesus comes, where two or three are gathered, there He is. There He is. I am in the midst. Do you believe it? Amen. Do you believe it? You know, we have meetings of God's people throughout the week. I don't know if you're aware of that, but we have a meeting that happens Thursday nights, a story fellowship group. We gather in Jesus' name. We pray. We recite Bible stories and we learn Bible stories together. Jesus is there. And it's a good fellowship. And then Friday mornings, we gather together as an evangelism team so that we can share the gospel with our neighbors. In this case, neighbors across the street in the arbors. We gather together and we pray and we ask the Lord to give us boldness and that there would be great grace upon us. And when we gather in Jesus' name, He's there with us and He goes with us as we go out on that streets to proclaim on the streets to proclaim His name. So if you remember, though, that Thursday night and that Friday morning, you think about it, pray for us, because that's our ministry. That's your ministry. That's our church's ministry. That's Jesus' ministry. So pray. Pray for the Lord to bless that and to bring the breakthrough that would give Him glory. Amen. And then Saturday morning at 10, we have a prayer meeting. Jesus will be there this coming Saturday. He will be there every time we pray in His name. Do you want to come and be there and see Jesus and call on His name with us? Wide open invitation. Come and call on His name. And let's see what Jesus will do. Amen? Amen. So the place was shaken. And then what happened? It says in verse 31, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine what it would be like if all of us together were filled with the Holy Spirit? You know what would happen? All of us would speak the Word of God with boldness. Who is able to speak God's Word to their neighbors with boldness all the time? I need to ask for this. We all need to ask for this. Because that's what Jesus is like. Jesus was always free with the Word. And because He did that, He reached the world. And he reached you and I. Amen? They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, they were filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. But it says here that they were filled again. Why did they need to be filled if they're already filled? You ever think about that? Well, I'll ask you another question. You ever have a very large meal? Like a Thanksgiving meal? And after you eat that big Thanksgiving meal, doesn't it feel like you'd never have to eat again? Right? But then what happens? You get hungry again. Same thing, the Holy Spirit. We get filled. And maybe some of that energy is used to speak boldly. So the energy is used up, I guess. And then you need to call on the Lord to fill you again. Amen. So the prayer is that we would hunger and thirst to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. 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 They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And then they didn't speak in tongues. Not this time. Not this time. But they did speak the word with boldness. And even when they did speak in tongues, they were speaking of the mighty works of God. And so the focus wasn't necessarily on the languages. The focus was on communicating the glory of God. Amen. Let's not get sidetracked. God's glory is the main thing. We need to keep the main thing the main thing. And how he gets it done, that's his prerogative. But the main thing is that honor and glory is ascribed to him because he's the one who saves us. They began to speak the word with boldness, a full freedom. That's what the word translated boldness, a full freedom in communicating the word of God, in communicating the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when that happens, the Holy Spirit makes us unstoppable. Unstoppable. Acts 4:20. For we cannot stop speaking what we have seen and heard. We're unstoppable. Try as you may. Threaten us if you will. But we're going to keep speaking for Jesus. Amen? They began to speak the word with boldness. Another result is they were of one heart and soul. Verse 32, it says, the congregation of those who believe were of one heart and one soul. We don't preach enough on unity. But how important is unity? It's extremely important. We need to be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Ephesians chapter 4. And now I'm going to go back to the tongues question. Now, we have differences of understanding regarding tongues. And the problem is, a lot of times we can go to extremes. The enemy, the devil, would have us go to extremes. And so there are some who say, unless you speak in tongues, you haven't really received the Holy Spirit. It's not true. Do all speak in tongues? No. But then there can be the other extreme of, we really need to forbid the speaking of tongues. But the Bible says, do not forbid the speaking of tongues. And then we have genuine believers in the Lord Jesus Christ who have different understandings of these things. They really trust Jesus. They love Jesus. You know what? They're going to be in heaven right next to us. So we need to learn now to get along with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? Yes. Now, we do, as the Lord enables, and with gentleness, need to remind them of the Word. But they can also remind us of the Spirit, because sometimes we're lacking. And that's what the devil does. He says, okay, you want the Spirit, we'll give you a lot of the Spirit, but you could be light on the Word. And then those folks who want the Word but not the Spirit, it's like, no, we need both. I feel strongly both ways. Amen. We need both. We need the Word of God and we need the Holy Spirit of God at the same time. And so we need to live in unity and pray in unity with our brothers and sisters in Christ. They were of one heart and one soul. And so unity is a must. Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity, dwell as a unit. Amen? And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He binds us together, knits our hearts together in Christian love. And then they shared and were generous. There was not a needy person among them. And there was abundant grace, mega grace was upon them all. They were transformed. The Spirit of Christ came and was among God's people. They lived transformed, Christ-like lives. Can God do that in us now? Amen. Yes, that's what we want and that's what we pray for. Because there is power in prayer, because it pleases God to answer prayer with power. And so let's pray. Father, we do pray that you would change our understanding of what mighty things you can do through prayer. And so we pray, Lord, that your Spirit would teach us, that your Spirit would move us to put ourselves in a place, in places where we really call on you to do mighty things in our hearts and then in the hearts of those around us. And so we thank you, Lord, for what you did through that 100-year prayer watch. Lord, would you start a prayer watch in our church? Would you add praying ones? Would you strengthen us individually in our prayer life by your Spirit? It's not about trying harder, but it is about your Spirit moving us and transforming us and igniting us with a passion for the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Do this mighty work. Pour out your love. Pour out your Holy Spirit, your Spirit of prayer into the hearts of your people. And let us look forward to coming into your presence, coming where Jesus is. Because where two or three are gathered in his name, there you are, Lord Jesus, in the midst of them. Thank you for that wonderful promise. Give us grace, Lord, to pray, believing that you will fill us and enable us to speak boldly and have great grace, abundant grace and power. In Jesus' name, for his sake, amen and amen.